Now, thank you everyone for attending our meeting tonight. I open the meeting at 5:30. I acknowledge the Garryal people as the traditional custodians of this land, on whose lands we are meeting, and recognise their strength and resilience, and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. I acknowledge the presence of our Freeman of the City, Arnold Carter. Thanks for coming along. And we head into the agenda. Item 3 is a list of those people attending from the executive. Attendance by phone, nil. Apologies, nil. Approved leave of absence, nil. Disclosures of interest, nil. Application for leave of absence is nil. And response to previous questions is nil. I'll move on to item 6, which is public time, and make this usual statement. This meeting is being recorded on audio tape and streamed live online as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking process, which may be released upon released at the request of a third party. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is reminded that in accordance with section 6.16 of the Town of Port Hedland local laws on standing orders, nobody shall use a visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless the person has been given permission by the chairperson to do so. Members of the public are reminded that in accordance with section 6.17 subsection 4 of the Town of Port Hedland local laws on standing orders, mobile phones must be switched off and not used during the meeting. In accordance with section 6.1 subsection 3 of the Town of Port Hedland local laws on standing orders, members of the public are required to complete a question form and place the completed form in the tray provided. If the presiding member determines that questions or statements are out of order due to the use of offensive or objectionable expressions or defamatory, they will not be recorded or responded to. We now move into question time at 5:34. Do we have any questions from people? Okay. Could you have your name?
Yeah, good evening, Scott. I'm 8 Anderson Street. The adoption of the 2021 rating strategy and budget has been added to tonight's agenda as a late agenda item. And initially without the late item 14.1 adoption of the rating strategy and adoption annual budget attachment. What is the reason an item as important as the annual budget was added so late and initially without the detail?
This is my understanding is that this is the meeting where the budget is normally presented, and that significant amount of work had to be done to get the document to this meeting, and that was the delay. The vast majority of the document was ready, but there had to be a finalisation of a number of issues. That's my understanding. Okay. Any other questions? No? Okay. Question time is finished at 5:35. Public statement time starts at 5:35. Do we have any public statements? Mr. Carter.
Carter, 47 Moore Street, Port Hedland. Thank you for the opportunity of making the statement. Having had the opportunity to discuss budget estimates with the Town Council over the last 40 years, I find it absurd that a budget be accepted without any reference to the ratepayers for consultation and comment. I received my copy at 3:30 p.m. on Tuesday the 23rd of June. There is no way could I substantiate questions before the acceptance by the commissioner at the meeting being held here tonight, unless he considers he could adjourn the same. When I perused the budget and noted an expenditure of $86,246,000, I was absolutely stunned. Particularly when I noticed that some of the proposed expenditure, for instance, the $7,750,000 transferred from the Port Hedland International Airport Reserve being spent, no indication of where it's being spent. Hoping I will not see a repetition of the fiasco we had with the Great Big Swimming Pool, one of those is enough. I also have another concern is regarding a tender acceptance for the cleaning of public ablutions for $805,000, which was in some instances $4,000 to $5,000 below the accepted tender. The value considerations when you've done your examination highlighted the criteria, which was very, very much concluded by including value for money. Not very conducive of the ratepayers' money when you're paying a company over $400,000 to $500,000 a month. I note with interest your comments on the last paragraph of your document in your aims and objectives. The main conceptual word missing is communications. The rest I agree with. Thank you.
Do you want that lodged as a question? Do you want us to respond in writing to that, Nathan?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, that'll be done. Thanks. So any other public statements? Did you want to make a public statement? Yeah.
Still Scott, 88 Anderson Street. The ability for community members to come to this chamber, ask questions and make statements in this forum is an important part of the local government process. This is true more so now than ever with our elected officials that the community members can easily access to represent their interests. Sliding rating and budget items in as last minute agenda items that such that we have limited opportunity to consider it ahead of a council meeting largely denies us that opportunity and is highly disappointing. Thank you.
Thanks. Do you want to take that on as a question really?
As a statement.
Yep. Thanks for that. Does any other people want to make a statement? Thank you. That means that at 5:38, statements are closed. Okay, 6.3, petitions, there is none. Item 7, questions from members without notice, there is nil. Item 8, announcement by presiding member without discussion. They're just a list of some of the meetings we've had over the last month. Item 9, I declare that I have given due consideration to the business papers before this meeting. Item 10, in relation to minutes, I support the recommendation and say that I confirm the minutes of the ordinary meeting held on Wednesday the 27th of May 2020 are a true and correct copy. I'll now move into the reports. The first report is item 11.1.1. This item is to vary a trust deed on the Local Government Housing Trust at the request of the Board of Management. The trust was created in 1980 for the purpose of housing Welga. The town of Port Hedland holds 8 units in the trust, which are worth approximately $142,000. And for the proposed changes to occur, at least 75% of all unit holders needs to agree to the changes, the amendments. Since 2014, the Trust has provided Welga with accommodation at 170 Railway Parade, West Leederville. The current deed was created in 1993 and was amended in 2002 to reflect the merger of the Metropolitan and Country Associations into Welga. The current deed expires in 2072. The aim of the variation at the moment are, one, to assist the trust income tax exemption status by strengthening the position of the trust, strengthening the position of the trust as a state or territory body. Two, removes trustees' powers to retire or appoint new trustees. Three, allows for the beneficiaries to appoint and remove trustees. And four, ensures the board is the governing body of the trust. I just wonder if the CEO might have anything else to add to that.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. No, as you say quite clearly, the trust is currently exempt on the basis of being a state or territory body. I think in order to strengthen that position, the advice that they have received is that these changes need to be made and need to be made by all members, and the TAN supports that recommendation.
Thank you. I do support the proposal, so therefore support the recommendations made in this matter. Item 11.1.2. This item is a step in the delivery of the Spoilbank Marina project, a $122 million project that will benefit all people in Port Hedland. It'll be a new central gathering place for Port Hedland, and boating communities will meet there, tourists and an entertainment hub when finished. This structure will be the envy of regional Western Australia. This is not being built in Broome, Karratha, Esperance or Albany. It's being in fact built right here in Port Hedland, and it'll be a significant improvement to our facilities. This matter involves existing leases over the area now occupied by the Port Hedland Yacht Club and the TS Pilbara. The net effect is as follows. One, the new leases are for up to 21 years. Two, the Yacht Club and the TS Pilbara currently have interests in lots 5178, lot 550, lot 5751, on reserve 30768. Three, the town has adopted the master plan in December 2019. We now need access to relocate marine vessels and equipment and allow physical work associated with the marina to start. At four, meetings have taken place with both bodies and revised leases, lease areas agreed to with all parties. And five, there is a reduction in the portion of in respect to the existing yacht club facility, a new laydown area to the west of their lease, and a new area for the sailing club to the northeast, and a licence over the shared access area. And six, the TS Pilbara area has been reduced to allow shared access to driveways over which it will be held a licence with the yacht club. So that is the joint access, is the access ways. I thank the yacht club and the TS Pilbara for their cooperation in this matter and the needs to start this project. These two groups will be the major benefactors of this project in time. I just wondered if Mr. Craig Watts, do you have anything to say about this?
Thank you, Chair. The Town Territory Services team have consulted with both the Yacht Club and TS Pilbara to hear their concerns in relation to the marina construction. The short-term lease areas will allow both organisations to continue functioning during the construction phase of the new marina. Once the construction phase is completed and the land site of the development is surveyed, we'll be in a position to again work with these organisations to develop new leases for them to continue operating within the new marina facility. Thank you.
Thanks. I do support the recommendations in this matter. Move on to item 11.1.3. This is the monthly statement of financial activity for the period ending the 30th of April 2020. The purpose of the statement is to show the public what occurred financially in April of this year. I wish to mention a few figures to show what is in fact highlighted, not because it's abnormal, just to show people the type of figures that are highlighted in these reports. I'll just mention three of them. The operational grants, there's a variation of $1,892,521, which is a variation of 53%. These are for grants. They arrive at different times, influenced completely by the external funding bodies whenever they decide to send us the cash, so to speak. So the amount of variation is affected by the external bodies. Interest earned, we've a variation of $879,315, which is 23%, which is in relation to the Spoil Bank project. The state has not called on funds from that amount that we hold in our bank accounts, so therefore we earned extra interest in relation to the money held for the Spoil Bank. Proceedings from disposal, we have $322,750, which is 173% variation. That is in relation to the sale of staff housing. This is a small list of small and large variations, and the explanations are given. It is an easy way for the public to know what is going on in relation to our council. The normal summary is that current assets cash investment is $237.8 million. Restricted cash reserves is $238.1 million. Unrestricted cash position as at the 30th of April 2020 is -$767,000. I'm advised that the June figure will see the negative amount back in balance. I just wondered whether our Director of Corporate Services might wish to make a comment. Doesn't work too well.
I have to get a bit close to you, sorry. Thank you, Commissioner. Last year, the town adopted to use funds in the financial risk reserve as an overdraft facility on a short-term basis. The town does not utilise an external overdraft facility. Rates income is typically received in four instalments during the year, with operational expenditure being paid on a monthly basis. And this occasion results in an overdraft position, a net overdraft position. The fourth rates instalment was due on the 15th of May 2020. So in relation to the period ended 30 April 2020, the town was or did utilise approximately $767,000 of the financial risk reserve to fund municipal operations. This was a timing issue due to the instalment that came in on the 15th of May, and the town is currently not in an overdraft position.
Thank you. Thank you. I support the recommendation in relation to this matter. Okay, item 11.2.1. This item is in relation to activating and enhancing the West End, at which is called Marapikaringa Park, so that all residents can enjoy this BHP land. This item lists what is occurring and the benefits of what is occurring. The overall cost of the project is $631,064.94, which is very specific. And that is also paid by BHP. Obviously these containers are not normal. They are, have extensive fit-outs, including commercial kitchens. When completed, we'll have a semi-permanent structure to accommodate food vendors, and the project will, one, enhance visitor and residents' use of the park, two, complement popular food markets and other events, provide a venue to raise funds for the community groups and sporting clubs, four, provide options for food outside current operating hours, and also an opportunity for small startups to trial their business models. We conducted two surveys, one for traders and one for the community. Both gave a number of responses. The existing traders were mainly concerned about competition that would be created due to these pop-ups and high overheads. The community wanted an alternative to what was on offer and enhancement of the area. The majority of responses were about activating the area, such as for drive-in, use the vans for a drive-in service, or sit down, or what the area could look like. Family events are more likely was the popular call. BHP will be responsible for the management once installed and will take into account all responses. I thank BHP for the community contribution and acknowledge their broader efforts in revitalising this particular area. You want to make any comments, CEO?
Perhaps, if I may, Mr. Commissioner, thank you. I think this project is one of many scheduled for the west end of Port Hedland and obviously aims to increase the activation and the amenity within the Port Precinct. And as you indicated, it is one of many projects being financially supported by BHP, and I think this one will create a great opportunity to enhance that existing park.
Thank you. I support the recommendation in relation to this matter. Item 11.3.1. This item is a request to allow Telstra to build a tower on lot 5769, I think number 150 Anderson Street. This matter does concern me, having on a number of occasions been involved in this process in the south. I do sympathise with the objections of the family that is some 150 metres away from the tower, proposed tower location. I am of the view that this distance is safe based on previous information provided by Telstra over the years. I'm advised that the installation will improve coverage and will make a total of 5 towers in Port Hedland. I do hope that is correct, as some parts of Port Hedland the reception is not very good. My experience with the towers is that the Commonwealth Act that allows for the construction of the towers is supported by the Planning Authority, that makes it impossible to stop or object to these towers. We have received a letter from Planning Solutions objecting to condition 12 being applied in relation to this matter, and I've read the objection through a number of times. And I say this, condition 12 is part of conditions at my instigation upon landscaping. Landscaping is a normal condition and would apply to any other group wishing to erect a tower or any other unsightly structure. The fact that the land they chose is a small block is their business, and they should have considered the impact of that decision. Their reason is not good enough to impose a restriction, and the imposition of number 12, of condition 12, is sensible and is a normal condition. I have looked at the conditions put in place to allow the construction, and now I'm happy with the 12 conditions and the advice notes that are supplied, and I support the recommendation in this matter, having considered the letter and the item before us today. Okay, item 11.3.2. This item is is in relation to the Planning Commission's draft West End Improvement Scheme number 1. This report will give the town's response to the scheme and authorise the CEO to lodge a response by the 3rd of July 2020. Just some background that most people in Port Hedland are well aware of, but I thought I'd put it at the start of this item. The port is a vital port for Australia, Western Australia, Port Hedland town, and of course the community that live in Port Hedland. The expansion of the channel, which is finished earlier in the year, as I understand, or late last year, allows for 617 million tonnes to be exported from the port. The current capacity is 513 million tonnes. It is in fact the largest port in the world. It is estimated that about 600 people reside in the west end of our town, and that 41% of homes in the west end are unoccupied, and that 82% of the occupied dwellings are in fact rented. A bit of history in relation to this particular report, how we got there. In 2009, the EPA was concerned about the impact of dust on Port Hedland, and it set up a task force who released the plan in 2010. It was recommended that a health risk assessment be set up to determine the impact on the population. This was finalised in February 2016, so it took some considerable time, 6 years. In August 2017, the state government released the 2016 Port Hedland Just Management Task Force report to obtain the views of Port Hedland community. There was in fact some 50 submissions were received in relation to that particular review. In October 2018, the state government formalised its position, which was one, to prohibit sensitive land use and restrict population growth in the west end of Port Hedland. Planning Commission to consider an improvement plan, which, as we now know, happened. Two, act to ensure future west end planning controls will not prevent the redevelopment of residential properties, provided it would not expand the non-conforming use. There is a limit to up to 75% of a damaged property, say through a cyclone, that can be rebuilt. Anything over 75% can in fact not be rebuilt. Sorry about that. In 2016, the task force report had extensive engagement with key stakeholders from all areas. It stated the following groups need to be removed from the West End if possible. One, elderly people over 65. And both Arnold and I know that that's not old. So people with pre-existing health issues. And the third group, children. The IS1 set out a singular West End zone, all land west of Taplin Street, excluding the spoil bank and the foreshore area, prohibited one, residential development for permanent occupancy, two, other uses considered sensitive to human health. The plan provided for public open space corridor along Anderson Street to interface with the adjoining industrial land use. The next bit I wish to touch upon is consultation in relation to this latest plan. The Planning Commission has complied with the minimum standard of consultation, which is one letter to residents. When we first reviewed the system, we recommended extensive community consultation. That has, in my view, not occurred. We consider the consultation to be inadequate. We consider the time to lodge submissions should be extended to allow extra time, given the COVID-19 travel restrictions also. Council is lodging an extensive response to the system and hopes the community also lodge their views. I do understand that some extensions in the lodgement time is being considered. Do we know if that's been granted?
Has to the 31st of July.
Okay, and it has been granted to the 31st of July, which is not a massive extension, but it is an extension. I wonder if Craig might, do you have anything to say?
Through the chair,
the town's officers have been advised that the consultation period has been extended to the 31st of July 2020. However, no additional methods of consultation, such as workshops or face-to-face meetings, have been included during this time. While the town's officers are supportive of the improvement scheme, given the government's awareness of the community interest in the West End precinct, we would have expected a greater level of community consultation specific to the release document. Thank you.
I support the recommendations in relation to this matter. Item 11.3.3. This proposal is to put in place a final area that could be developed in the East End for residential land. Other areas have already gone through this process. The area for this proposed scheme amendment number 84 is the land known as the Stables Precinct to become urban development. This is part of the plans for the future population growth. Before any actual development occurs, there would be a need for an environmental and cultural plan to be developed. No development will be contemplated until the structure plan is prepared and approved by the Planning Commission. The dust mitigation plan for the West End demands that we look at to cater for creating land that residents of the West End may wish to relocate to in the East End. There is some work yet still to be done. This land has been put forward before and was rejected as the Shire had not completed the char map requirement. That has now been achieved. This amendment will transfer the land from rural, park, recreation and other purposes to urban development. Do you want to comment in relation to this?
Through the chair, this land presents a future development opportunity to increase the volume of residential land in the east end of Port Hedland. Officers are not expecting this land to be developed in the immediate future, but will provide for the future growth of Port Hedland beyond 2030. Once the 42-day consultation period is completed, officers will refer the scheme amendment back to council for final adoption.
Thank you. I support the recommendation in relation to this matter. Item 11.3.4. This item is in relation to new singlemen's quarters and how they will be assessed and the type of structure that in future will need to be constructed. Councillors use Professor Fiona McKenzie's work on the social impact of accommodation and the distances from workplaces as a referral document. The concept of this item is to ensure benefits are realised for the community first, industry, and of course industry workforces. This policy will be required to be advertised for the public comment before being presented to council for final adoption, either with or without modification. The report highlights the following, and there's 11 points. One, the exceptional growth in workforce accommodation over the past 20 years. The number of long distance commutes, which they call LGCs, in the last boom exceeded the number of residents. Two, the amount of accommodation within a 20 kilometre radius of Hedland is 3,500 beds approximately. The work travel is a major problem, with 30 minutes considered to be the maximum in this region to be able to get to work. And that's one of the conditions that we'll be now looking at if this goes through. There is a significant impact of long-distance commute on host communities and flyover communities regarding investment in the host town, which we all probably know about. Significant impact of long-distance commute on workers who do face specific psychological risks from loneliness, fatigue, and isolation. There is a duty of care in relation to this particular matter, which I think we witnessed in the tragedy, which was the chap going on a stabbing rampage, and that's the sort of thing that we need to avoid into the future. Six, support a co-location workforce accommodation within the host town. Seven, workforce connects to the fabric of the town. Eight, ensure accommodation fits into the long-term plans of the town. Ensures design fits local environment. And 10, improves building and landscaping appeal. And 11, fits into the neighbourhood as much as possible. There are three types of accommodation. One, short-term workforce accommodation, typically much larger and more transient, and may accommodate but not limited to construction workforces. Temporary workforces assists with delivery of various projects. Two, intermittent workforce accommodation, typically associated with shutdown crews required for only short-term, multi-skilled teams for maintenance, etc. And then, of course, long-term workforce accommodation for small workforces, generally longer-term employment. The system will require a workforce accommodation to be looked at with the above in mind, and the type of workforce proposed, we will prefer workers to be within 30 kilometres of accommodation or their workplace. The town expects a high design standard for long-term workforce. I am sure companies will have an opinion in relation to this issue. We are looking at this issue in relation to safety, long-term appearance, and connectability to the town. Remembering, this is for new accommodation. Do you want to have any comments in relation to this question?
Thank you, through the chair. The recommendations in the report follow the standard process for adopting a local planning policy. In this case, we've got two that are being advertised. Officers will consider responses received during the consultation process, and the adoption of the research paper and the position statement provides the rationale and scientific basis for these policy positions. Thank you.
Thank you. I support the recommendation in that matter. Item 11.4.1. This proposal is to revise the policy 9-1004, pre-cycling green waste collection. This review is to correct faults in the current policy and to emphasise what is able to be put out and what is not. Firstly, as the name suggests, it is for clean-up of green waste. Other items such as fridges, stoves and the like, or old junk items, are not included and should not be disposed of through this green waste pickup. Disposal in our dump, which is of course free, is the way to dispose of those larger items. If any such rubbish is left on the verge, it will not be collected through this process and will result in a fine if not correctly disposed of as soon as possible. And the other change, well, emphasise some of the changes. One, please ensure prunings are no longer than 1.5 metres. Cutting edges are placed towards the street. Three, do not obstruct footpaths or walkways. Four, do not place cuttings within 2 metres of existing infrastructure such as water hydrants and power. And loose material should be wrapped where possible. the town employees and contractors will not enter private property to collect waste that has been incorrectly stored in the front verge. I support the officer's recommendation in this matter. Item 11.4.2, continuation of contract architect briefing for the South Headland Integrated Sporting Precinct. This report is to extend the current contract of the architect for the duration of the master plan process, as they are now have now gained extensive experience in this project. The original contract was granted by council for work on the precinct plan up to $1,286,765.50. The work on the master plan and was approved by me when I approved the master plan for the area. The architect has changed their name from Sandover Piper to now being Carabina Architects. I support the extension of the contract to allow the company to be involved in the entire project. The $1,072,088.50 is the balance of the original contract. I just wonder if our director may wish to have a comment on this.
Through the chair, and thank you, Commissioner. This is a fantastic project for the town. So Carabina have undertaken architectural works and have produced some really fantastic designs that will now go to the next stage, which is detailed design and schematics, and we look forward to continuing to work with them to produce a fantastic precinct for and buildings for the community.
Thank you. I'll now read aloud the recommendation, the officer's recommendation. The council endorse the award of the remainder of RFT 2017-14-South Headland Integrated Sports Precinct Architects Briefing to Carabina Architects for $1,072,088.50, excluding GST, for a term of 7 years with no option to extend, and authorise the CEO to execute the remainder of the contract works for the remaining below stop-go points, completion of schematic design stage, completion of the tender documentation pre-tender estimate stage, and the consideration evaluation of tenders. I support that recommendation. Okay. Item 12.1. Okay. This report is Strategic Community Plan Minor Review and Corporate Business Plan Annual Review. These matters were dealt with by the Strategic Committee a week or so ago, so it's reporting those considerations now. This item is to consider the strategic community plan and corporate business plan. The plan has a 10-year horizon in both, with more specific tasks over the next 4 years. Over the past 2 years, the development of a number of master plans has taken place, the completion of the community perception survey. In fact, the strategic review is conducted every second year. In this period, council was removed due mainly to a lack of leadership within that council. Progress is now being made to deliver the corporate business plan. Action is now taking place to identify that the CBP is still relevant and achieving the strategy, making sure that the strategic corporate plan has no obvious gaps in it. we have now completed 45% of the corporate business plan and require no further actions in relation to the strategic corporate plan. It is achieving the desired outcomes. These reports give a full review of what has been achieved. These reports show the significant body of work the staff have done. When I arrived, the productive work had stopped. I congratulate the staff for the contribution under difficult circumstances. The staff were never the problem in many cases. They were treated badly. Good advice was ignored, and irrational decisions were in fact made. I support the recommendations in relation to this matter. Okay. I now move on to, I think, item 13, motions to which previous notice has been given. There is nil. Item 14, new business of an urgent nature, a late item, which is the adoption of the 2000-2001 rating strategy and adoption of the 2020-21 annual budget. Firstly, I support the recommendation to allow us to consider the recommendations. So I move on to 14.1. I'm pleased to present the 2020-21 budget to our community and thank the staff for the hard work in producing this budget. This budget is focused on core investments to build a vibrant town. I was pleased with the council's response to the COVID-19 restrictions, and of course the support of the general public was sensational. That kept us safe during the pandemic. Council committed $3.1 million in support packages and a freeze on rates and charges that are reflected in this particular budget. Many services were sent online during this time. We all have benefited from a strong iron ore industry that did see the workforce of BHP and the other players in town not lay anybody off. Your town also did not lay people off during this period of time. Spending in this budget is focused on core projects which impact positively on the lives of our residents. This budget is long-term in its focus, laying the foundations for future infrastructure development and strategic economic investment. New roads, curbside construction, heavy vehicle access, footpaths, etc. I have taken pride in the fact in the progress to deliver precinct master plans for McGregor Street, South Hedden Integrated Sports Complex, the J.D. Hardy Youth Zone Master Plan, and of course the Spoilbank Marina Development. We will see these projects move from the drawing board to construction. I do thank the community for the support they have shown in relation to all these positive announcements that have been made. This budget will also see a curbside recycling program introduced, construction of seawalls to protect the fabric of our town, the residential fabric of it, recycling centre being built, enhanced South Hedland entry statements, a pretty poor footbridge. There'll be funding for community events programs in this budget, and much, much more, I've got to say, in relation to things that people, I'm sure, will be happy with. This will be the only budget that I will be involved with. I am firmly of the view that this budget will serve the people of Port Hedland well into the future. And I ask the Manager of Corporate Services if you wish to add to that what I've said.
Thank you, Commissioner. Through the Chair. The 97-page budget document presented tonight for the year ended 30 June 2021 is the outcome of substantial work, as you've said, completed by the officers of the town. That process commenced in January, and unfortunately a lot of the work was discarded in March as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the changing economic situation. External information was received as late as mid-June, which had to be written through this document. The budget process included regular consultation with the Commissioner, and the budget is consistent with the current adopted strategic community plan and corporate business plan. From an operational viewpoint, current service levels are maintained or enhanced. In relation to rates revenue, the town has complied with state government directives and frozen rates in the dollar. Unimproved valuations, UVs, are determined by the valuer general, and they have increased, resulting in an additional $6.2 million in rates yield. The ability to utilise these funds is uncertain, and the town has therefore elected to allocate this amount to the financial risk reserve until the matter is settled. It should be noted that other Pilbara councils are in a similar position. In relation to projects, the town has budgeted to spend $76.3 million on capital works. This includes $11.8 million on renewal of existing assets, $36.8 million on upgrades to existing assets, and $27.7 million on new assets. The town has also budgeted for two projects to potentially be funded through borrowings in the order of $17.8 million. They specifically relate to works at the town depot for $8.7 million and staff housing for $9.1 million. I would just like to close by acknowledging the efforts of Christine Pidgeon and Suzanne McKay to get the budget document ready for this meeting. This process involves substantial work after hours and on the weekends and is appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Director. I just wish to add to my thanks earlier to Anthea and her team for... I know that people spent a number of weekends working on this document to get it ready for tonight, and those sorts of efforts, you might think they'd go unnoticed, but you do. People notice that, and I thank all the team for the efforts they put in to get to this particular point. So a big thanks from all of us. So I now move on to what I now have to say in relation to adopting these figures. I wish to employ the en bloc method of voting, which means I'll move them all together. Okay. So I'll read out this. The Council adopts recommendations A, B, C, D, E, F, G and H of the agenda item 14.1, adoption of 2020-21 rating strategy and adoption of the 2020-21 annual budget by exception resolution. Now, a simple majority, so I move that recommendation, and thank everyone for listening to that budget. I urge people to have a look at our budget. It is a progressive budget, and the interesting thing is you don't get projects unless you spend money. So that's, we could sit in this place for the next 10 years and spend no money, and everything would have fallen down by then. So I think this budget will serve the people of Port Hedland very well into the future. Item 15, matters for which the meeting may be closed or confidential matters, there is nil. Item 16, closure date for next meeting is the 22nd of July 2020, and I close the meeting at 6:25. Thank you for coming, everybody. Thanks.